Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Verse 23. Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal.
Satakichakavamikat
Saha Ojo Balan Vitaha
Sarva Vayavasampanno
Vajrasanghannano Iva Utitastap tehema bho Vipavasa ivaitasa Chant
Satta kichaka kamika
Saha ojo balambita
Sarva
vayavasampanno Vajrasanghannano yuva Utthitastaptahemabho Vibhavasurivayasa Satakichakavamikat Saha ojavalambitaha Sahavayavasampanno Vacha Samhanana Yuga Satakichakavamika Sa ojo balambita Savavayavasambanno Vajra sampanano yuva Utita stapta he maho Sa. Somebody wants to chant. Satakichakavamika.
Saha ojo balambita. Sarva vayam sampanno. Vajra sampanno yuva. Titastaptahemabho Vibhavasu ivaitasat
Sa Hiranyakashipu Tat That Kichikavamikat From the anthill and bamboo grove
Saha
Mental strength
Ojaha,
strength of the senses.
Bala,
and sufficient bodily strength.
Anvitaha,
endowed with. Sarva,
all.
Avayava,
the limbs of the body.
Sampanaha,
fully restored.
Vajasanghanana,
having a body as strong as a thunderbolt. Yuva young, O titaha arisen. Taptahema abba, abaha, whose barley luster became like molten gold. Pipavasu, fire. Iva, like. Edasa, from fuel wood.
Jai Maharaj,
please give me your blessings. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. As soon as he was sprinkled with the water from Lord Brahma's water pot, Hiranyakashipu arose, endowed with a full body, with limbs so strong that they could bear the striking of a thunderbolt, with physical strength and a bodily luster resembling molten gold. He emerged from the anthill a completely young man, just as fire springs from fuel wood. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu was revitalized, so much so that his body was quite competent to tolerate the striking of thunderbolts. He was now a young man with a strong body and a very beautiful bodily luster resembling molten gold. This is the rejuvenation that took place because of his severe austerity and penance. Mukam karati vachalam pangam langhaite girim yatkipam tamam vande shri guru tirthavinam om gyana timirandasya gananjara shalakaya chakshur miritam yena tasmai shri gurave. So today's class is going to be on three verses, because first this Prabhuji told me to do verse 22, so I prepared. Then he told me to do verse 21, so I prepared. And then he told me to do verse 23. So sometimes you'll be hearing from verse 21, and sometimes from 22, and sometimes from 23 in this class, all three of the verses. Verse 21 is about the difference between humans and demigods in terms of lifespan. And verse 22, Lord Brahma is sprinkling the Amrita on the body of Hiranyakashipu. And it's the purport is a bit about Lord Brahma's position, how he's infallible, and so forth. And verse 23 is about the final rejuvenation that took place by contact with the Amrita. So all human beings must die. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, there are some exceptions to those who will die. Can anybody tell me who is the exception of, among the human beings, those who will not die? Ashwatthama. Okay, well, for a while at least. Yes, anybody else will not die, yeah? Hanuman. Okay, well, he's got a pretty long lifespan. Yes? Right. Devotees. Devotees do not die. Devotees do not die because they're always drinking Amrita. And this Amrita is Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And this is the real Amrita. There is a verse in Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 16th chapter, verse 7. Shujayasham ninam manga martyanam ritamichatam iho pahuto bhagavan rityusang mitat karmani. Oh, Sutta Goswami, this is Shonaka speaking. There are those amongst men who desire freedom from death and get eternal life. They escape the slaughtering process by calling the controller of death Yamaraj. Then it goes on, a few verses later, Aho niloke pieta hari lilamritam vachaha. As long as Yamaraj, who causes everyone's death, is present here, no one shall meet with death. The great sages have invited the controller of death, Yamaraj, who is the representative of the Lord. Living beings who are under his grip should take advantage by hearing the deathless nectar in the form of this narration of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So since we are in the company of the sages of Naimisharanya, they have called Yamaraj. Yamaraj is present here. None of us will die. Because as long as we're drinking the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, we will be protected from Yamaraj. So perhaps one of you in this class is Yamaraj. We do not know. Maybe somebody here disguised as a devotee. So in the verse 21, the demigods are called Amara. Not that they are deathless, but they live a very long life because they always drink amrita, or nectar. So in verse 22, it's described the nectar of Lord Brahma's Kamandalu. Now, previously, when Lord Vamanadev, this happened after, I think, Hiranyakashipu, Vamanadev came, and Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Vamanadev when he put his toe through the universe. And the water became so pure, transformed into Ganga, and this came flowing down through the sky. So Srila Prabhupada explained that the Ganga began when the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadev. But also, in fifth canto, it said the Ganga began when Lord Narayan appeared as the water of the Ganga. And also when Vamanadev's left foot pierced the covering and the causal ocean came down. So the Ganga is actually made of three different waters. But Lord Brahma's Kamandalu, the Amrita from that, contributed to making the Ganga River. So it's very special Amrita. Last month when I was in New Govardhan in Australia, it's the only place in the world where I could see the stars in the sky because it was completely pitch dark and there were no lights. So going to Mangalarti, you had to go in the pitch dark. I got lost. But anyway, when I was looking up at the sky, I could see the Ganga. According to fifth canto, the Ganga streaks across the sky and it comes down. And so then I was remembering Mayapur and remembering also this Amrita of Lord Brahma's Kamandalu. So no one wants to die in this world. So how to become deathless? We have to drink nectar like the demigods, but not the same nectar they drink. We want to drink Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavad Gita also talks about this nectar, this Amrita, in chapter 13. Yayam yatat pravakshami yaj gat vamritam ashnute. If you know what is the soul, then you will drink nectar and you will not die. And also in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 15, sama dukkha sukham dhiram so mritatvaya kalpate. If you understand you are not disturbed by happiness and distress, means you understand you're not this body and you're steady in both, you can drink amrita or nectar. So there is a story about one king. He was the king of Iran, and he got a book containing the secret to raise the dead with an elixir of immortality. And this elixir was made of herbs and trees from the high mountains of India, from the Himalayas. So the king sent his chief minister, "You go and find these herbs. I want this elixir of immortality." And his chief minister was looking in the mountains, he was looking in the valleys, he was looking, he couldn't find these herbs. So then he found one very famous sage who had also searched for this elixir of immortality. And this sage had come to the conclusion that the elixir described in this book was actually an allegory. So what it meant was the high mountains were the wise men of lofty intellect. The trees and herbs were their writings. And the wisdom taken from their writings was the elixir of life that revived the dead intellect of men. So the knowledge of Bhagavatam, Gita, raises us from the dead. It revives our spiritual consciousness. So it is the real Amrita. It is the real elixir of immortality. We drink this nectar every day. We shall become, we already are immortal, but we're thinking we're not. So this will help us quite a bit. So Prabhupada describes two nectar books. One is Bhagavad Gita, and one is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada said these two books are special nectar of the words of Krishna, and whoever preaches these two books will very easily get out of illusory conditional life. So Bhagavad Gita gives the highest instruction. What is the highest instruction given in Bhagavad Gita? There is one verse which is giving the highest instruction in Bhagavad Gita, conclusion
of Bhagavad Gita. Does anybody know that verse here? Somebody has taken Bhakti Shastri course or yes? Madmana, very good. And there's one more verse. There's two verses, actually. And the other one? Sarvadharmam Parityaja. Very good. You have studied. So, Sarvadharmam Parityaja, Bhagavad Gita ends with this instruction. You give up everything and surrender to me. Now, so this is the highest instruction, but higher than that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam starts where Bhagavad Gita ends. So Gita says, Sarvadharma Parityaja, you give up everything. And Bhagavatam says, Dharma Projita Kaita Votra. You give up all this nonsense. In fact, not you give up, but it has already been thrown out from Srimad Bhagavatam, all this cheating religion. Dharma Artha Kama Moksha has been thrown out from Srimad Bhagavatam. And simply the highest truth, which is understood by the pure devotees, Paramahansas, that is given. And if you listen attentively and submissively, then you will get a special blessing from Vyasadeva in the beginning of Bhagavatam. He says, if you listen to Bhagavatam attentively and submissively, you will capture Krishna in your heart. Now, Juva Maharaj, she also got this realization of nectar. And he was praying to the Lord, please bless me so I may associate with great devotees who engage in your transcendental loving service constantly as the waves of a river constantly flow. So what did he want from the devotees? These devotees are always chanting your glories. It'll be very easy for me. I'm mad to hear about your transcendental qualities and pastimes. So Shridhar Swami also, in his commentary, said, Tvat katamita patthado viharanta mahamuda kurvanti kritina kechi chattavargam chinopamam. O Lord, the saintly devotees who happily play in the nectar ocean of the narration of your glories, consider the four purusharthas to be as insignificant as a blade of grass. And this is the qualification of guru. Tasma guru prapadyeta jigasushaya utamam shabde pari chanishna tam. This shabde pari chanishna tam, he's taken shelter of the glories of the Lord. Prabhupada said in his lecture, he's taken bath in the ocean of Vedic literature. The guru has taken his bath not simply in water, but in this amrita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada said, this is the qualification of the guru. And then, Nishnatam Brahmanyupashamashayam. Then he can take shelter of devotional service. There's a beautiful prayer by Sanatana Goswami that is Sarvashastatipiyusham. And this is that in praise of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that Srimad Bhagavatam is a nectar churn from the ocean of Vedic literature. Now we hear in 8th canto about the churning of the ocean of milk. So from the churning of the ocean of milk, so many things were produced. Kamadenu and Lakshmi and the moon. But when you churn the Vedas, what is produced? When you churn the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam is produced. So the Vedas are compared to a milk ocean, and Bhagavatam is the nectar that is churned. When you churn the ocean of milk, the nectar comes. That's what the demigods drink. When you churn the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam comes. It's also described that Bhagavatam is like, the Vedas are like a desire tree, and Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit. So it's the nectar of the Vedas, it's the ripened fruit of the desire tree of the Vedas, and also it's a jewel in the treasure house of the Vedas. There's another beautiful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is written by Rupa Goswami. Sutanam chajinam api matarimon matatamani tatanaradhadipanaya kannasarai sarapitam samantatsanta podkama vishana sansara sarani panitam te tishnam haratu hari lila shikarini. May the pastimes of Sri Krishna reduce the miseries existing in the material world and nullify all unwanted desires. Pastimes of the Lord are like shikarini, a blend of yogurt
and sugar candy. So if we take some yogurt, we mix a little sugar candy, mix nice lassi. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is like a lassi. And who is this for? It is for those who are walking the path of samsara, samsara sarani. The path of samsara is very, very burning like a desert. And you get very thirsty on the path of samsara. But if we drink the nectar of Krishna Lila, our thirst will be quenched. So how has this nectar of knowledge come to us? Now in the purport of verse 22, Brahma is described as Adi Kavi. He is the original Kavi, the original poet. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaviye. Krishna says at the beginning, Vyasadeva says at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Brahma got this knowledge from Krishna. And which form of Krishna did he get this knowledge from? That is described in Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Gopavesha me purusha purastara virbhabhuva. The Lord appeared before Brahma, Prabhupada says, as a cowboy. A cowboy. Actually, a cowherd boy. And in this form, he gave him Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Lord Brahma realized, and he sang, Chintamani Prakarasa Masukapariksha, and he glorified Lord Krishna in some beautiful verses. So if we study Bhagavatam in Canto 3, we find Lord Brahma has been praying for empowerment to do his service of creation. And he was praying for protection from fall down. Two types of fall down he was praying for protection for. And these two types of fall down are something that devotees have to be very careful about. And these two types of fall down that Lord Brahma prayed for protection from, number one is pride. That, of course, if you're the creator of the whole universe, you could become proud. And even if you're not, you just can sing very nicely or give a class or something. You could become proud. Say, yes, I'm a wonderful devotee and I chant nicely. And why doesn't everybody recognize my good qualities? We could become proud. And this causes fall down. The second fall down that Lord Brahma prayed for protection from is deviation. The deviation means, oh, now I know some Sanskrit, I know some philosophy. I should start my own movement. I can, you know, in ISKCON, it's a bit limited here. I could not become Acharya, or I could not become something, so let me go and start my own movement. And yeah, I'll take some of, actually in Nepal, Patri is preaching there, one brahmachari, and he told me he went to meet one of the gurus who is very famous in Nepal. And he went to this guru and he said, okay, you know, what are you teaching? And the guru said, you know, actually, I'm a blue devotee from Juhu and I got some of the philosophy and that's what I'm teaching. So Pachi said, you're a rascal. Just told this guru, thousands of followers. But this philosophy is very powerful. You get a little bit of knowledge and you can become, you know, take your own movement, get thousands of followers and go to hell. But if you're humble, a humble devotee, you can go back to Godhead. Because Goloka the door is very small and the false ego won't fit through the door. It will not fit through the door of Goloka. We have to leave it behind. So Srila Prabhupada explained that unless one is sufficiently protected by the Lord, he may fall down from his position. Therefore, one has to pray constantly to the Lord for protection and blessing to carry out one's duty. So the path of spiritual life is like a razor's edge. A little inattentiveness can cause havoc and bloodshed. And so Srila Prabhupada said that we should always seek protection from the Lord, always pray constantly when we are doing our devotional service. Now, Jaitaita Swami, and back to Godhead, I stumbled on this story about Prabhupada in the early 1970s. And the movement was just starting to get a little big. Prabhupada was sitting with some disciples in his room in Los Angeles. And the temple was very big and opulent. And Govinda Dasi had made Prabhupada a coat with peacock feather tassels. I don't know if you've seen this coat in some pictures. It has little peacock feathers coming down. And someone had given Prabhupada a shiny golden, with real gold, bead bag. So Prabhupada said, "Now we are getting so many things. I'm just praying to Krishna. I may not fall down." And this is a lesson, if we study Uddhava Gita, the lesson of the sun, and also of the wind, the lesson of the sun. The lesson of the sun in the summertime, the sun picks up water. And then when there's time of need, in the rainy season, the sun distributes the water. So the devotee may get many things, he may accumulate things during his devotional service. People may give him things. So he accepts these things, and then when the right person comes along, he gives it away to that person. So this is the lesson of the sun. And don't be attached. Sridhar Swami, our godbrother, he said that he checks every month what he has in his belongings, and if he hasn't used something for a month, then he gives it away. So this is a good standard that Maharaj was following. Now, there was a conversation in Back to Godhead about fall down. Jayadaja Swami said, sometimes we see even big devotees fall down. Devotees we look up to or admire. Devotees who are considered advanced. And when that happens, how do we see it? How should we see it? So Ravinda Sarup said, he said, well, when someone who's well-known or elevated or respected falls down, we tend to think, here was such an advanced devotee and he fell down, so what chance is there for me? It's discouraging. And we say, what's wrong with Krishna consciousness? This person fell down. Then Prasanatma said, when a person you respect deviates, naturally you doubt not only the person, but the whole thing. So we have that experience. And Sankarshan Das, who is now a Guruji, he said, we shouldn't think if someone falls, there's something wrong with the process. Process is perfect. Jai Radhagopalananda Goditai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Process is perfect, but one's application of it may have some defect. Spiritual life is like a razor's edge. It shaves us clean, but if we're not careful, we can get cut. So then Jai Dvaita Swami, he said, when a person falls, I look upon it not as a problem with our philosophy, but a confirmation of it. The philosophy predicts if a person does certain things, he'll fall down. So when a person does those things and falls, that confirms it. Now, what are those things that a devotee does that will cause his fall down? We already had two here, pride and deviation. Now, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, before he left the planet, he found four things. He listed four things, that why big devotees fall down, and I will say why any devotee will fall down due to these four causes. First of all, lack of humility, that we think, yes, I am, now I have some power. Or humility, lack of humility, no humility. Lack of humility, yes. So that's one cause of fall down, that we think, now I have some power, I'm a devotee, and I can do so many things for Krishna, I am great. This is also an anarta in the heart. The Keshi demon, Krishna came, he killed. The Keshi demon represents this pride that now I am a great devotee. Then the second cause of fall down is lack of good association. Sometimes you may have a lot of association with, if you're a preacher, then people who are lower than you, you're giving mercy, but then amongst your own friends, you don't have. So then this can cause fall down. Number three, so we have lack of humility, lack of association. And then the third one is lack of knowledge about advancement in spiritual life. This can also cause fall down. And then the fourth one, which causes fall down, is offenses. So offenses can be made to someone senior to us, or equal to us, or even junior to us. Now, Lord Brahma, he's described in the verse 22 purport as Amokha Radhasa. He's infallible. Doesn't fall down. So how did he become infallible? Lord Brahma said in the second canto, chapter 6, verse 34, he said, O Narada, because I've caught hold of the lotus feet of the Lord Hari with great zeal, whatever I say has never proved to have been false, nor is the progress of my mind ever deterred, nor are my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment
to matter.
So he is, Prabhupada explains that whatever he says does not go in vain. His plans do not go in vain. His words are never false. Satya Sankalpa. And that actually happened in my life with Srila Prabhupada, that something Prabhupada said to me, it was 1972, over 30 years ago, he said something to me that came true 30 years later. I was in Vrindavan in, with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was speaking Nectar of Devotion lectures at Radha Damodar Temple. So after the lecture, we will go to Prabhupada's room for darshan. So Prabhupada, he didn't say it directly, but he just said to me, you know, my sister tells me you speak Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely. So I was completely puzzled, I said, because I never spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. What to speak of nicely? I never spoke it. And even the first 24 years, I didn't speak Bhagavatam. Well, I've been as a devotee. So I was so puzzled. And so then I thought back, okay, what does his sister mean? Then I remembered it was Janmashtami Day, Calcutta Temple. So I was in Calcutta Temple, 1972. And what we had to do, all the devotees had to read Krishna book from morning until midnight. There's only 10 of us, so we each had to read 2-3 hours. So my turn came, and I was reading from Krishna book, Ras Lila. And Prabhupada's sister was sitting in front of me. Now, she didn't understand a word of English, only Bengali. And I was reading in English. So, but when I got to the part, oh, Krishna left the gopis, and she just started crying and crying and crying. I was being really dramatic. So then she told Prabhupada, she speaks Bhagavatam very nicely. So then what happened, I didn't think twice about it. But then 30 years later, I started speaking Bhagavatam. Then I understood, Prabhupada said, she just said, my sister tells me, you speak Bhagavatam. The words came out of his mouth. So I ended up speaking Bhagavatam after 30 years. So the words of a pure devotee cannot prove false. And that I learned from Srila Prabhupada. He said, came out of his mouth. So Prabhupada gave us empowerment. He gave us knowledge. And he himself prayed when he landed in Boston, that you please, I don't know how these people are ever going to understand anything. So you please make my words powerful. And you please empower them to understand. Please give them the understanding in their heart. So Prabhupada prayed not only for his empowerment, he prayed for the empowerment of his audience, that Krishna would empower them to understand his message. Now, Srila Prabhupada, if you're reading memories of Prabhupada every day, so there's one memory of Atma Tattva, and he was preaching, he showed one Shivite, he showed him a picture of Prabhupada in the back of Krishna book. So this man said, oh, he took out some thread, and he was measuring Prabhupada's forehead, Prabhupada's cheeks, Prabhupada's chin, everything. He said, oh, this person's features show me that all the four Vaishnava acharyas are present in him. I wish you had a picture of his full form. So then he said, oh, I do. So he showed his full form. So he said, I was not wrong. I would like to be a part of a movement like that in my next life. Then Amitabha said, but I thought your ultimate goal is go to Kailash with Lord Shiva, because he's a big Shiva worshipper. He said, yes, if I go there, I'll tell Lord Shiva, I want to join a movement like this and spread dharma everywhere. So this was Srila Prabhupada. And also Prabhupada, there was one young boy, the son of one man, Ramanandi. And this boy sat on Prabhupada's lap, and Prabhupada said, you give me this boy, you give me your son, and I will make him an acharya. So what happened was this young boy now became acharya of the Ramanandi sect. Young sannyasi he became, and he united all of the sects of the Ramanandi sampradaya, and now he's the acharya. Prabhupada made him an acharya, actually. And so Prabhupada is very, very powerful, and he gives us instructions how we can also follow the path of Lord Brahma, the path of the Paramahansa. So Prabhupada, in one purport, 2.9.18, he said that first, with all conviction, we should believe in the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and without making efforts to realize him by speculative knowledge, just hear about him from Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the purport, the second purport of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada makes the same promise. He says that, you know, even if you're not a Paramahansa, if you just sincerely hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you will come to the level of Paramahansa. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is Paramahansa Sangita. It's meant for the Paramahansas, those who are pure in heart, Nirmat Saranam, Satam, the devotees. But you can become so if you simply hear submissively and attentively. So this benediction is given at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam by Vyasadeva and further elaborated, expanded by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. So this Amrita is Srimad Bhagavatam. One type of Amrita was sprinkled over Hiranyakashipu. He got his health, he was rejuvenated. So we have to sprinkle Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita over ourselves every day. And we will keep our spiritual vitality. Just one last verse I'd like to tell you from 3rd canto, 7th chapter, verse 14. Ashesha sanklesha shamam vitate gunanuvada sharanam murare kimva punasta charanaravinda parakasevaratiratmalaktha. Simply by chanting and hearing the transcendental name, form, etc. of the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, one can achieve the cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. So we want to become free from our attachment to material things. We want to become free of the prison of our false ego. Simply hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And also in the purport, Prabhupada says, if you want to live forever without changing your material body, don't waste valuable time with topics other than those of Lord Krishna. So the only hope of stopping the cruel slaughtering process of death is to call Yamaraj to hear and chant the holy name of the Lord. He comes for kirtan, he comes for Bhagavatam class. So before he calls you, you should call him. You should have kirtan and you should read Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada always put together kirtaniya sadahari and nityam bhagavata sevaya. They go together. So Prabhupada explained, Yamaraj is a great devotee of the Lord. He likes to be invited to kirtans by pure devotees. So the great sages invited Yamaraj to attend the sacrifice at Naimisharanya. So we have our incarnations of Kali Yuga, Srimad Bhagavatam, holy name. They have the power to revive the dead. And actually it happened that the holy name revived one person who already died. It was in Moscow. There was one person who was a congregational devotee, and he was coming every Sunday to the Sunday feast. And he was visiting, he was chanting Hare Krishna, he was also chanting Om, and so many other things he was chanting. And then, but one day he didn't show up, and they got a phone call from the hospital. You know, one of your people is here, come and see him. So they counted all the, no, everybody's here, nobody's there. So they went and they saw this, there was this congregational devotee in the hospital. And just as they arrived, he had left his body, the brain went, the sign, what is it, on the machine, the brain wave was flat, the heart wave was flat. So they said, okay, anyway, we'll have kirtan. So they started having a very nice kirtan, and all of a sudden the brain wave started going, and then the heart wave started going. And the guy sat up in his bed and he said, now I understand the importance of chanting Hare Krishna. And he fell back down and died. So this was told to me by one of my students. But anyway, it has that power to revive the dead. The holy name has that power. Also, there's a commentary by Sridhar Swami on the sixth canto, the story of Vajamila, just came to my mind. That there are different processes for self-realization. Now, some of these sages, they're busy collecting ingredients for sacrifice, and they're doing so many different processes. And these different processes are compared to very bitter medicine, just like in Ayurveda, you have trikatu. There's a medicine for fever, or also just for whenever you get a bad cold or fever. They give you three bitter medicines together. So Sridhar Swami says this is karma, jnana, and yoga, these three bitter medicines. If you want to take these bitter medicines for self-realization, then it won't be very happy for you. So, but our path is kevala anandakanda. So In the verse of Bhagavatam, 6th canto, I think, 3rd chapter, 25th verse, yes, it is said that these people, they're following these other paths, and they don't realize that Sankirtan Yajna is so wonderful. So Sridhar Swami says, he compares these three paths to bitter medicine, and Sankirtan is the Yajna, is the Amrita. It is Amrita to revive the dead intellect, to revive our lives. So this Amrita we have, this Sankirtan Yajna, this Bhagavata, and if we drink this every day, then we can remain immortal, can remain on the spiritual platform. So any questions or comments? Maharaj? Anybody else have any comments or questions? Yes.
Never relax in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So this is wonderful what you said, because many times I am so exhausted and I'm coming to my room and I sit and say, oh my God, now I will relax now. Mm-hmm. When I say this word, automatically my brain relaxed, so I'm terrified. I say, oh my God, I don't want to relax in any place.
Never relax.
I will be in trouble if I relax.
So Mother Kolangara advises us not to relax, and she has lived a very long life in Krishna consciousness. So we should take her advice not to relax in Krishna consciousness. Anybody else have some comment or question? Yes. Dead intellect. Dead intellect means it's under the control of the senses. Our intelligence is, we use our intelligence to make our body happy, to make our senses happy. That is the dead intellect. We do not take care of the soul. The live intellect is under the control of the soul, and the dead intellect is under the control of the senses. So to revive the dead intellect, it's like Prabhupada said in one purport, like dead bodies flapping for a few years. That's how people are. They're walking dead bodies. Because the body is dead. And the intelligence is following the dead body and trying to serve it nicely. Anybody else have a question or comment? Okay, it's prasadam time. Our favorite mantra, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Vanchika. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Vanchika.